Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. We are going to kind of jump into some exciting stuff starting today, the rest of this month, and we're going to invite you and challenge you to envision some things with us as we talk about our vision here on Vision Sunday, which is also Vision Month. So when we talk about vision, we're specifically describing something that could be defined as this. It's a picture of a preferred future, okay? And you'll see the definition of it here, that when we talk about vision, and today when I do my presentation on what's our vision, what we're talking about is a clear mental picture of what could be. But then we believe and we pray that God will work and stir us to believe not just that we can see it, but we actually believe that's what it ought to be. Not just what it could be, but that we're motivated that that's what it should be. And our vision around here is very, very simple, and it's this. We envision gospel transformation. That the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is, changes our hearts, that changes our homes, but it also makes an impact on our neighborhood, and specifically in our neighborhood here in the North Central Church area. How many of you ever wondered what the name of our church means, North Central? Anybody ever wonder that? It's kind of like a geographic description, but it means, as far as we can understand, what it was intended to mean is this. We're in the North Central part of New York, which means we know where our neighborhood is. We have four surrounding towns, and when you put all of the people together for the four surrounding towns, we have about 132,000 people here in the four towns around us, which is the largest population density in the greater Syracuse area in these four towns all put together. And you'll notice that strategically, somehow by the wisdom and maybe the sovereign work of God, we find ourselves right in the middle of those major suburban areas. There you see our little black logo there. There we are in kind of a center part of that. So here's what I want you to know about our neighborhood. Our neighborhood, these four towns with the church family here located right in the center, at least where we gather, we're surrounded by people who do not, generally, 95% do not have a saving faith. We love them. We love people who do have a saving faith and who don't have a saving faith. But less than 5% of our suburban surroundings have saving faith. That actually registers around the world as what's called an unreached people group. That registers with this 1040 window in the rest of the world that is kind of devoted to Islam and a handful of other religions. We register in the same percentages as people who generally, 95%, don't have a saving faith. They don't have a trust faith, life-changing transformational faith in Jesus. So we feel like we're a part of helping God reach those people, and not just to train and root and grow as believers, but also accomplish the mission of reaching people who aren't with God with saving faith. So that's what vision means. That's what our neighborhood is. That's who we're trying to reach. And so later, I'm going to come back a little bit later and kind of walk you through our picture of a preferred future and hope that God goes to work in you, that you shouldn't, that you aren't necessarily only picturing what could be possible, but that you start to feel engaged with what should be possible, what it should happen. So we're looking forward to telling you more about that, and then in the weeks to come, we'll provide more and more answers to some of your questions as they surface. We look forward to that, too. So. It's great to see you. If you missed it earlier, my name is Dan. Honored to serve as pastor here. I also get the joy and privilege of sharing the main message each week. And today we're going to talk about some things related to what we envision our future to be here on Vision Sunday. When God makes you alive, we believe this to be true for all believers, when God makes you alive in your faith, in your heart, when he brings you from death to life, he makes you, he causes you, he generates the ability to be able to lift your eyes from yourself and onto other things. When you come alive in faith, you're able to, God works to lift your eyes off of what is, and he helps you to envision and look more closely at what could be. And when we're stuck visualizing or focusing on what is, we tend to be people who worry. We tend to be people who are get trapped thinking about anxious about things that we have to do every day. I don't worry a lot. I'm not a worrier. But when I worry, I found that my worries tend to be related to the choices my kids are making or going to make. I find myself also very, I think at times, worrying about the possibility that as a dad who loves and leads his family, that I fail to do everything I can do to help them get where they need to be. So I don't have any doubts in God's ability to do what he needs to do. Ultimately, that's on him. But I do have my stresses about failing them, failing people, hurting people along the way, also letting people down. Those are the things that kind of get on my nerves a little bit. I suppose it's true that most everybody worries. Would you, do you find that to be true? Don't you believe that most everybody worries about something? Some of you who aren't worriers, don't take it personal. We're not talking about you. We're talking about everybody you know who probably generally worries about something. In fact, people have put these two words together, and I don't always know why, but it seems a little bit insulting to me. Worry wart. They put the two together, as if you're a worrier, has somehow you're associated to and connected to and otherwise related to warts. But listen, Jesus also addresses worry, and he hits it head on with his disciples when he says to him, "You ought not, you don't need to any longer worry about things like what you need for everyday life. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat or drink and what clothes to put on your body. You don't have to worry about that anymore." Here's what he says. When you're alive with faith, you can stop worrying. You can end it. You can stop the worrying because your life and heart have come alive. Jesus also says that you don't have to worry not just about your daily needs, but you don't any longer, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow has enough what for itself? Trouble. It's got enough trouble. You don't need tomorrow's trouble today. Or today has enough trouble for itself. You don't need to worry about tomorrow's trouble. Then Jesus also says, you don't have to worry about what other people are doing. Don't worry about the speck that's in someone else's eye. You should concern yourself with what is happening in your own eye, the log, the plank that's in your eye. He said, don't worry about what other people are doing. Don't worry about the future, the uncertainties of the future. Don't worry about the daily needs, whether or not you have food or drink or enough clothes to wear. He says to his disciples, when you worry, it's like being strangled. The definition of the word worry being used in the New Testament is this: strangle. There's a Indo-German word that helps us understand the word anxiety in the Bible. The word anxiety means this. It means the restriction or constriction, the narrowing or the tightening feelings in your chest or your throat. That's probably where the idea of an anxiety attack comes from, right? It's a sense that things are out of control and it's getting restricted. But here's what Jesus says. He tells his disciples, I tell you, don't worry about those things. Don't be full of anxiety. Don't worry about the stuff of everyday life. And then he goes on to say this. Listen to this. He says, isn't life more than food, clothes for your body? Isn't life more? And here's what he says. If you could get your eyes off of this type of stuff that God always faithfully provides, then you can look away from that and look into some other things that are more healthy and helpful for your own life. So God moves the eyes of his disciples off of those things, and he helps them put their eyes on what could happen. I like to put it this way in our context today. He helps us see the future more clearly. He helps us to envision things that require us to lift our eyes off of what we have to do today. And I imagine that's what some of our church leaders did in the past when they started North Central Church. Over 50 years ago, 55 years ago, Pastor Leon Miles and his wife Laverne had a vision that God was going to plant a life-giving, spirit-filled gospel church here in North Central New York, and they started a little church in a little white building on the corner of Wetzel and Morgan. Take a look. Does this remind you, or is this, I hope you can recognize this, the corner of Morgan and Wetzel. Here is, my dad told me that he attended this church as a founding board member, and he was responsible at 6 a.m. every Sunday morning of getting the wood into the wood-burning stove to heat the place. And I was like, Dad, that's dumb. Why don't you just turn the furnace on? I mean, that's idiotic.
heat up the little white church. It's my opinion that church leaders like Pastor Miles and his wife Laverne and their founding board, God love them, they had to lift their eyes off of what was in order to see what could be in the future. What could be? Get their eyes focused on the fact that life is more than everyday needs that we have. And they said, let's plant a church. Then, after a couple of years, they moved from that white church to this particular building right here. You'll see it on the screen behind me. And they moved into a brick building. And when I see brick buildings, I think of this. Somebody knew this space was going to be permanent. Somebody said, we're going to endure the seasons. We're going to endure snowstorms in March or even Mother's Day weekend. We're going to be here. We're not going to leave. And when you see brick, I always think the same. This is something that is long-lasting. And through, eventually, the church begins to grow after several services on Sundays. The handful of people who have faith, bold faith, they decide, I believe by a work of God in their own hearts, that they're going to invest all that they have, their bold faith, their talented labor, volunteer labor, their passion to see expansion happen, and then collected all of those resources along with the activation of their own faith, envisioned what could be in the future, and they built the space that we're currently in right now. And somewhere along the way in the mid-80s here, we see this expansion being built here, right where we now sit. And I know this for sure. I don't know where I would be, but I certainly wouldn't be here if not for the bold faith of a handful of people who envisioned something ahead of time that they didn't have right then, and stepped out and invested. And we see the impact of that as we spend week after week after week. And we thank God for the evidence of their own personal financial sacrifices, their talent, their faithful obedience, and responded to what God was doing by constructing the new and improved worship space. And we've been enjoying this space for over 3 decades together. Since then, since the 80s, 30 years of this, there's been a desire growing, held so strongly by many of our church leaders and members, to develop our property here for legacy ministry, for something special in the future. After years of hoping and years of dreaming and years of actually talking about what the plans could be and also years of praying, it's becoming a reality for us in ways that are beyond what we've imagined before. Our vision here is that we would invest ourselves into building a legacy that would continue on long after you and I are gone. Long after. And contrast that to the idea that what's easy for us to do is just to build ourselves a landmark and let it be a memorial to what God has done in the past. But I challenge you to think in terms of building a legacy, making an investment for the future so that we continue to make room for what God wants to do from here forward, not just a landmark to remember what God has done in the past, which is spectacular and tremendous and ought to inspire us with hope that God will do more in the future and plans to do more in the future. We envision, as we build a legacy together, we envision that by faith we lift our eyes off of ourselves in order to invest in our future, in order to think about what God could do in the future. So what would we build? How would we build? What do we envision? We envision a building here on the side back of our building, a modern kids' space featuring the safest and most attractive learning environment possible here in our neighborhood. A modern kids' space featuring the safest and most attractive learning environment possible. You'll see a picture of it here that is right off the side here. You'll notice that, perhaps you'll notice, we'll see this a little bit later, that it's actually makes an L shape right here in the parking lot and faces Buckley Road. Our current need for children's ministry space is more and more evident here on Sundays. We have found over the years that our attendance in children's ministries expands, it swells and swells, it becomes too big for the space, and guess what happens to it? It eventually shrinks back down to fit comfortably about 50 kids into the space that we have. Then it swells and swells again, and then it shrinks back down to fit comfortably in that space. And we believe that if we build a expanded children's ministry, that we can provide and we envision the safest, cleanest, largest space needed to help inspire both church and unchurched families to come and stay and be a part of our church family. So we need to build learning spaces, really, that are able to attract and train and retain the best children's workers. We need to build a learning space that is able to effectively teach and engage over 100 kids every week, every Sunday. Where will 100 plus kids come from? Where could they possibly come from? And what could we do with a space like this? This space would effectively position us to meet needs in our community. It would effectively strategically position us to actually bring relief and help local families that are distressed, bring healing and bring rest to families that are struggling. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, in our suburban neighborhoods, we believe that we are able to provide affordable and licensed childcare, maybe even a future daycare and a future pre-K, but we could provide childcare services to both our church and our neighborhood families. Why is that important? I'm glad you asked. Why is that important? Here's what we've learned in studying our towns around us. In the three surrounding towns, 33% of all families indicate that their head of household is single. One out of three report that their home is a single parent home. Whether that parent, of course, is a grandparent or a relative or a mother or a father, they, one out of three, indicate that they are single, trying to make their families work and meet needs of their families. Also, we have also discovered that one out of four new births, one out of four, 25% of all new births in these three towns are to unwed moms. One out of four to unwed moms. We have, in the suburbs, we have families that are distressed trying to make ends meet with both a career and also the need for childcare to raise a healthy family, cared for by somebody who cares. So what are these parents or caregivers worried about? We believe that they are actually facing the stress that most modern families face of finding childcare while they're also trying to invest in their career and get ahead and make an advance and get going. Single parents, single moms. And so here's the stress. The stress is this, that to find before and after school programming is not easy. The stress is that we have discovered that there's about 7,100 elementary age students in Cicero, North Syracuse, and Liverpool who are potential child care recipients. That's the market, that's the customer, 7,100. There are currently two major before and after school daycare providers. Two major providers, 7,100 students. And for the several other minor child care facilities, we have discovered that most of them have a full 1 year waiting list to get your kid into a affordable and high-quality childcare program. So we believe that that just adds to the stress of our suburban families. Isn't it hard when you live in the suburbs? Sometimes it's hard to say, and some of you don't live in the suburbs, and you probably can understand this too. It's easier in some segments of our culture to identify what the needs are. We believe that we've identified one of the needs in our suburban culture that we're strategically placed to reach and care about is to help carry the burdens of these types of families that are facing stress. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I don't want you to take the research's word for it. One of our trustee deacons, her name is Kristen. Kristen is going to explain to you, as a career mom and a family that has a need like this, to what degree, in fact, is this a problem? Kristen's coming now. She's going to share a little bit with you.
Hello, everyone. Honestly, before Pastor Dan or our church board even did these studies, I'm a new mom because I've only been a mom for 10 years. So all of you that's new to me. But I've been in the workforce for 24 years. And the greatest need for my employees, for coworkers, and I get choked up when I say it, I still do, is the greatest need they have is affordable, adequate daycare, which includes before and after school programs. We talk about it all the time. If you're on any Facebook pages with us, that's what the need is. And a lot of times there's adequate daycare, but people can't afford it. And then if you can afford the daycare, you can't find it, and there's these long waiting lists. And I'm super excited about this prospect because it is a huge need in our community.
Would you thank her for talking publicly on a microphone? Kristen represents just one of the kinds of families that we're aiming for. So what could Kid Central offer? What could we help with? Where could we help bring healing to local suburban neighbors? Here's what we have envisioned. We believe that we can offer high-quality childcare programs for stressed-out, low-income, and single caregiver families in both neighboring school districts. We believe we can be a part of investing in the care of our neighbors. We believe that we actually have this picture in our mind that we could be a primary location for families to be driving into the parking lot 5 days a week, dropping their kids off, school buses lined up as we begin to receive the community's kids. And when the community thinks about North Central Church, they think that they've got a family member, an extended family member who is compassionately caring for their own kids, where we build bridges of trust into homes right in our neighborhoods. That when they think of our church family, they think and they believe and they actually receive us as an extension of their own family. And we believe we can provide that as we invest in a compassionate, affordable, professional, and secure childcare service. Also, we expect that as we work forward, we become a New York State licensed before and after school childcare program. We also provide for them care that's needed on snow days and school breaks. We have been hearing more and more about the chaos that happens when a family has to find childcare spontaneous when God blesses us with a snow day. And they've got to figure out who's going to take a vacation day or how we're going to juggle this need and this demand when families are pressured. So we also envision one day being able to provide subsidized pricing, help low-income and single-parent families reduce their stress. Now, keep this in mind. We also believe that we have the support of local leaders, especially in the school district, but not exclusively in the school district. In fact, we envision the full and unconditional support of our local education leaders and also our community leaders. Let me give you a quote from one of them. The president of the Cicero Chamber of Commerce said to us, "We couldn't support or endorse this childcare project any more strongly. It's impossible. This will meet a tremendous need in our community." Isn't that, I mean, I love the idea that the Chamber of Commerce and our relationship is ramping up as we don't ask something from them, but instead we offer something to them. Secondly, in talking with an interim superintendent in the Liverpool School District, the interim superintendent said to me personally, "I guarantee you that when you open, God willing, if you opened in the future a pre-K program, if you did that, here's what he said, you can expect 150 or more students from our school district on your doorstep from day one." And I was like, whoa, ease up. Let's start with 15, okay? I mean, come on. 150 plus, that's what you could expect from our school district, as he has identified the number one need in their school district is to provide capable, quality pre-K programming. We envision that that's a possibility in the future in a space like this. But we do believe and we do envision ourselves leading and loving the community by investing in the healing and in the care and in the enrichment of their lives, especially single-parent families who we picture being a place where they get involved in an enrichment program where we help them with Financial Peace University, we enroll them in cooking classes, we help with school clothing, back-to-school sponsorships, and also meal prep classes or even and especially some kind of subsidized cost. Now, one thing to keep in mind, too, is that we were told that as a part of the CNS school district, that once we get our New York State licensing, that Cicero North Syracuse has to take responsibility for busing kids to our space. So we actually envision a line of buses lined up dropping kids off who are receiving state-licensed child care. We'll talk more about that later. So who is this space primarily for? You know what I wish? I wish it was simpler where I could say we have one clear target audience for this space, but we don't. We have two. Two. We believe that this new space would be able to both reach our neighbors, but also teach our own kids, train our own kids in their faith. We believe that the family is the number one caregiver and also trainer in faith. We believe it's at home in the family. The church doesn't have them for very long, but we do believe the church is supplemental. And we believe that we do contribute as a body of Christ. So what could Kids Central offer our church families? We believe that we could offer the high-impact programming space that's now expected. Not necessarily a luxury, it's just expected. And also needed to reach and teach and also protect, right? Everybody's watching the news. And to protect the maximum number of kids possible. We believe that with a space that we're envisioning that we could teach and legitimately protect and teach 150 to over 200 kids all at the same time in the kind of space that we envision building. So what that means is to our local church families, we envision expanding our learning spaces that are needed to attract and train and keep the highest qualified children's workers. Also, that when we expand our learning spaces, that we need to effectively engage and teach 150 plus children every Sunday. And why in the world would we risk doing that? Wouldn't you agree that it's easier to do nothing, but it's better to do something? You ever thought that? I think that every morning when I wake up. Now, it's easier to do nothing, but it's better to do something. Churches are the same. When we all get together, it's so much easier for us to just keep doing what we're doing. It's a lot less stress, a lot less anxiety, a lot less discomfort, but I certainly believe as your leader that it's good and it's safe to do nothing, but it's so much better to do something. And by that I mean this, why would we risk building Kids Central? Here's why, so that we could actually make a wholehearted investment and faith-filled investment of our resources, whatever they are, that we would make that investment into our children's faith development. Why? So that we could build a legacy of faith, not leave a landmark to be remembered by, but a legacy that's at work, training and raising up and investing in our future, our kids and our grandkids. Now, where is this going to be built? I alluded to this earlier. I mentioned that Kids Central will be connected to the existing building, connected via a entryway. And it would actually go through this coat closet door here, would become the hallway, and then it would go out into the parking lot, and it would face Buckley Road, 8,500 square feet, and it would have features like a general corporate assembly place measuring 900 square feet. It would have an additional 700 square foot rec room youth space, and then it would have six classrooms. It would be protected, it would be safe with a single point of entry, and it would also provide a set of all church bathrooms. We would have bathrooms there, and everybody said, amen. That way, this side of the church never has to go to this side of the church, ever. Ever. You wouldn't have to. Also, it would include a kitchenette, nursing mother's room, some other video enhancements for security and so on. But if you're interested in what that includes, we have a website that we wanted to kind of point you to. You have it in your notes there. You'll see the web address here is kidscentral.info. And we hope that that provides enough info for you to kind of get a feel for what does it include. And also, you'll see some frequently asked questions. So there's some good signs that have happened so far. Well, let me put it this way. Probably more than good signs, we've seen some God signs. I'm not the first person to sign up or that will be categorized as mystical or superstitious, but we believe that there's some things falling into place so that we could see God at work. Let me give you an example. One of those is this. The town of Clay has already approved the full construction project. I mean, that could only be God, right? Would you agree? It could only be God. Secondly, we already have a corporate donor. Northeast Interior Systems has already made a donation. They have a consultant right on our design team already and are going to contribute. They're going to donate to some of the interior that has to be built up and built out. It's already happened. They're sitting on the design committee already, donating their time and money. Also, we're currently debt-free. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness to provide that. get this, in anticipation over the last 8 or 9 years of something terrific coming, our church leadership has been saving money as we wisely restrict our spending. We've been saving money so that we have 40% of this projected cost already set aside to get us a head start. We're already trucking, already rolling. Didn't Pastor Don say, let's get trucking this morning? I love that. Didn't see that coming, but it was perfect. It's perfect. Also, considering our future child care program that is state licensed, the New York State Child Care Licensing Official, the person who actually sent us the certification regulations, 70 pages, by the way, the person who sent those to us, is an Assemblies of God pastor's wife who oversees and runs their own child care program out of their own church, very, very, very similar to the one that we envision. And she said, we're with you, it can be done, we're already doing it, and we're gonna help you every step of the way. And she's not saying, I'm a pastor's wife who's gonna help you, she's saying, I'm a licensing official who will help you every step of the way. When God sends you somebody from the government, I mean, come on. So you can see why we see that some of these things are good signs that we actually believe are God's signs, or they're good signs that God's at work in preparing the way. Also, I wanted to mention this. I quoted you the president of the Cicero Chamber of Commerce. That president is also, I left this out for impact, is also a person who is on our North Central Church board. Carolyn Postel is the president of the Chamber of Commerce of Cicero. So we have a relationship through our church board to the Chamber of Commerce. We're excited about that. Keep this in mind, that we have received overwhelming support with 3 leaders in the Liverpool School District and the Cicero North Syracuse School District, 3 specific leaders. Let me tell you about one of them. One of them is a principal of the local school here that's in the catchment zone, meaning our kids would go to this person's school. In talking with that school principal, I said, would it be a help if we provided affordable, compassionate, on and on? I said, if our local church, and this person said to me specifically, you'll see this quote behind me, if our local churches, this is a principal of our local school, if our local churches don't provide excellent, compassionate, safe, and secure child care for our stressed out families, who will? Who will do it? Where will these families turn? Where will these families go? Where will these kids find it? And I wanted to say, us, North Central Church, we'll do it. We'll be a part. We'll respond. We're the church who believes that God will fill us full of faith, and he will do something special through us and through our investment. Why? Because we envision building a legacy, not just becoming some building that the leaders in our communities years from now remember that God used to do something special, and it's a landmark to what he's done in the past. So let's invest in the future of our kids and grandkids before they graduate from high school. And what if our kids are able to train their kids in a space that we've built for them? I would love that. I'd be so thrilled. For those of you who don't have kids at home, for those of you who don't have grandkids living with you, don't feel the stress of having to provide childcare, you realistically could be asking, so what about us? I mean, what about me? How do we get involved? How do we envision this? And we've asked one of our assistant pastors, Rich Parisi, to come share with you. He has a unique perspective, a special perspective, and he will help you kind of face the challenge of how you could be a part of it.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. As Pastor said, I'm Rich Parisi, and recently was named as a part-time assistant pastor to our seniors and the issue of legacy. And I've been attending North Central for over 35 years, and when I think of legacy, I think of what are we going to leave behind? We're all going to leave a legacy. The question is, what type of legacy will it be? When I think of the word legacy, I think of the sum total of all that we do to live for Christ on a consistent basis. It is built day by day as we die to self, and as we look to live for the glory of Christ in all that we say and do. I honestly believe that everyone in our church wants to leave a real positive legacy. I have no question about that. But then there's this thing called self that sometimes wants to get in the way of that. Have any of you ever struggled with wanting comfort over discipline? Have any of you ever struggled with doing what you want to do when you know there's someone else you might be helping or doing something to make a difference for them? There's many ways we could look at that, but I often refer to it as WIFM disease. What's in it for me? A lot of us like to think about what's in it for me. And as Pastor Dan said, some of our seniors might be thinking, well, yeah, but I don't have kids, I don't have grandkids in the area, whatever. I think the WIFM disease is a real danger for all of us. A much better question to ask would be, what can we do to make a difference for God's kingdom that can last well beyond our years? Philippians 2, verses 3 through 7 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. When I started attending North Central 35 years ago, we had the small chapel sanctuary up front, as Pastor Dan showed in the pictures. A few years later, my wife, Joey, began to come to North Central, and I remember the Sunday when she walked down that aisle with my oldest daughter, Kate, to ask Jesus into her life, and the difference that made in our home, our family, our marriage, and for our kids. We were blessed as a couple to contribute to that project, and we were blessed to work on that project. Those of you that would really know me would know that hot summer days, jackhammer, Rich Parisi, doesn't work. But that's what I did for a week, as many people in our church gave up a week's vacation, some gave up a couple weeks vacation, and came and worked on the project to help us go forward. Over the last 32 years, many have come to Christ in the sanctuary. The Lord has healed people at this altar. Marriages have taken place. Memorial services have taken place. Babies have been dedicated. Gospel-centered preaching has occurred. And many people have been prayed for. I remember June of 2011, standing right over here, when Brother Al Anderson, who's sitting back there, was up front praying. We had just had our first grandson, was born, Ethan. Those of you that are grandparents, it's one of the great blessings of life. And we have our beautiful little grandson, and we find out within 10 days that he was totally deaf. Shocking to us. Heartbreaking to us as grandparents. It was like, we had no history of deafness in the family. We had no idea. We were shocked. We went through that with our kids. We cried together. We did all that. We prayed. But Al's up here praying, and he says, you know, this is a shock to all of us, but it's no shock to our sovereign God. He's still in control. He's still in control. And I look at what God has done in our grandson, and through that time forward, it's just been a wonderful blessing in terms of all that's occurred in his little life. But one of the things that Al was doing, and one of the blessings for those that being here so long, is the legacy Al's had of prayer, the legacy Al's had of being a teacher of prime timers, the legacy Al's had of being involved in the projects at North Central, and to see what God has done in and through those projects. Because of the new sanctuary, we've hosted all kinds of training sessions from groups from all over New York State. We've had youth groups here for special programming. And over the last, about half a dozen years ago, we started the Revision Project, where we changed the sanctuary, and we did the lobby area and the cafe area and restrooms. And since then, groups like Down the Drive Elementary and other schools in Liverpool have been here able to host training sessions here at church. And other groups have come in and been able to use this facility. And through that, Mark Potter, the district superintendent at Liverpool, hosted an opiates awareness night here. And many of the leaders that were from around the county that were here then began another group here, which is the Drug Prevention Network that continues to meet regularly at North Central. It has also allowed us to better meet the needs of Encore Ministry, Women's Ministry, Youth Ministry, many other things here at North Central. Once again, in a small way, I'm thankful that Joey and I were able to be part of that project, as were so many others at North Central, and to do all that again debt-free. The board and pastoral staff have been praying for a good while and wrestling with what are the next steps to take to reach our community and to impact those here for Christ. The truth is, we'll be able to reach far more children at North Central with a new Kids Club edition. For many of us, this is an opportunity to make a difference for the next generation of believers. We'll no longer hear, wow, your church is beautiful, look at this beautiful sanctuary, but what about the kids' spaces? What about the kids' rooms? because their spaces will also be wonderful for them and for their teaching and their growth. When I reflect on our North Central Church values of generosity and outwardness, it seems clear that the Kids Central project is a very exciting opportunity for us to live out those two core values. The new space will also provide a 900-square-foot general assembly space that I look forward to using for senior ministry opportunities, like Bible studies and outreach and activities that bring our seniors and others together that allows us to learn about Jesus and to encourage others in Christ. It'll be a fantastic opportunity to meet a tremendous need, as Pastor Dan has been sharing and as Kristen shared, for families in this area. I was blessed to spend almost 30 years as an elementary school principal, and after I retired, I was asked to be an executive director of BASCL, which is a before and after school child care program of Liverpool. We were in all 10, 11 Liverpool schools and six other sites in the county, and all I can tell you is all that's been shared about the need is right on the money. Parents that would come in with so many stressors, and once we introduced it in Liverpool, our parents were so thankful because all of a sudden they had something that they could, a place they could put their kids and help to meet that need for them. I'm so thankful for those people that have come before us and those that we've been able to be blessed, Joey and I, to be alongside to do some of the steps that have gone forward at North Central. I can't begin to imagine all the people that have left here that have been impacted in different ways. Many have gone on into full-time ministry, and how that plan can continue to grow as we go forward. My hope and prayer is that if the Lord tarries, there'll be many people who'll be thanking God for the vision and willingness of the North Central Church family to support this special opportunity to make Jesus famous. It will become part of our legacy as members of God's family at North Central. To me, that's a legacy worth celebrating. May we look to what God would have us to do rather than asking the WIFM question, what's in it for me? Or a similar question that can hold us back, what's it going to cost me? I'm so thankful that God didn't ask that question, aren't you? Thank you.
Awesome, thank you, Rich. So sometimes I start to kind of get amped up and I say, let's take action on our vision or take our vision statements off the wall, right? Take them down, get going, or take them down. And so many churches get stuck because their vision isn't followed by action. Their vision hangs on a wall. And we want to get going and take risky sacrifices by faith to reduce the risk of our kids losing faith, not being able to experience the faith that we now share. Jesus, by the way, finishes his teaching. He's talking to his disciples about worrying, and he says, it is non-believers who are so focused on all the things that they are anxious about, all the daily needs of where is their food, clothing, drink, what are other people doing, what about the future? People who are far from God, that's what they think about. But he said, if you weren't worried about those things, he said, you could lift your eyes and think about what could happen in the kingdom of God. You can be focused on kingdom expansion. You can be focused on kingdom values and kingdom. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and God will be at work providing all of your daily needs so that you can envision what's to come, what's possible ahead of time. It'll take us faith, and by faith, we get to seek God's kingdom and see and invest beyond what our daily needs are. So we could risk it. Let's risk our comfort to lift our eyes beyond landmarks and see this kingdom work begin of building a legacy. And we're not held together by this vision. We're not held together by the needs of the suburbs. We're not held together because this is traditionally the church family that we have been worshiping with. We're held together by the work of Jesus on the cross where he makes us his own church and he holds us together by the broken body and the shed blood. That's how God brings us together. That's how he separates us. And that's what holds us together.